Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Mem Zayin, and we're holding the very, very end of Mem Vav Amid Beis. As you recall, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that the father has certain zechusim in his daughter, and subsequently, when she gets married, the husband has certain zechusim. So, on the very last line, we're quoting from the Mishnah, Zakoy Bim Tziyasa. The father is entitled to go and receive any mitzia that she finds. She's walking down the street, she finds a mitzia. Obviously, we're talking about a case where there are no simonim, or where it was an ir sheruba goyim, in a situation that you're allowed to keep the mitzia, there's no din of hashavas aveda. She doesn't keep it, it goes to her father. Says Yimara, why? Mishum Eva. What means Mishum Eva? Eva, of course, means sinna or enmity. But what does that mean in this situation? We're going to have a Mishnah later on that's going to say that even though the average father naturally supplies mezoinos to his daughters because of a father's love for his daughter, however, it is not required min ha-toira that he go and feed her. So, we'll see, Me'etz Hashem, if you, let's see if we want to turn to... Mem Tesamid Beis. There's a Mishnah later on that says that a father is not mechuyev to go and supply his daughter with food. Obviously, if he wants to, that's a wonderful thing to do. Let's see, Mem Tesamid Aleph, maybe. You see, if you look at Mem Tesamid Aleph, Mechem, two more days. Mishnah in the middle of the Omid Aleph. Ha'av eino yichayev b'mezoynez bitoy. A father is not required. Of course, if a father wants to, and 99.9% of all fathers will do that, but he's not obligated to go and supply mezoinus to his daughter. So therefore, why does a father do it? It's takana d'rabbana, not min ha-toira. So the Mishnah tells us that what happens if the daughter would keep the metzias, that would be eva, because the father says, here, I'm pouring out my precious money and my food, to go and supply my daughter with food. And guess what? She finds a mitzvah. She doesn't even give it to me. So because of that, it might lead him to say, you know what? She doesn't give me. I'm not going to give her. Let her go and be choseris ala psachim to go and get food. So because of Eva, we give him the mitzvah. Then the Mishnah says, Vayte, that the father is zoche b'maase yodeha. If she has income, he gets it. All of these gemaras that we're talking about, of course, we're talking about a katana, and a Nara. Frank Gemara, Minola. How do I know that the father is entitled to Masi Yodea? And the Gemara is going to tell us now a Gemara that we've had already two or three times. Minola says Gemara, Diom, Maravun Amarab. Minayin Shemasio Av. I'm sorry, Shemasio Abbas Liav. How do I know that the father gets the Masi Yodayim, the income stream of his daughter? Shnemer, it's in the Pasik. V'chayim kar ish ez bita liyoma, loisei tzikitzei soavon. Now, l'choyre, it doesn't have to say li'oma. It could have said, v'chigim kar ishes bitoy, lo'yseitz, it could say so avodim. Why does it add li'oma? Ma oma masiyadeha le'rabba, havbas masiyadeha li'oviha. Just like when you have an oma, meaning a slave, her masiyadayim, everything that she does and that she produces, any income, of course, goes to her master, because after all, that's the reason why people buy slaves, for purposes of their masi yadayim, is abbas masi yadayim liyaviha. The same thing applies to a girl. If any income that she has goes to her father, freitimar beimah hanimilik tana to matzi mizben la avanardle matzi mizben la masi yadayim didoava. So the Gemara asks a very, very obvious question. We all know that the halacha is that a father can only sell his daughter for an omivria as long as she's still a ktana. Because once she becomes a Nara, automatically she goes out. She goes out with Shtei Simanim. So therefore, when she's a Nara, she cannot be sold. So maybe this hold in of our Mishnah, that a father gets a Mas Yedayim of his daughter, is only talking about a Ktana and not by a Nara. So Tiyamara, Mistabra Diaviyahava. In all likelihood, our Piswara, it makes sense to say that the Mas Yadayim, even of the Nara, belongs to the father. What is this for? If you're going to go and tell me the Masi Daim does not go to her father, we know from the famous pasuk that a father has a right to go and marry off his daughter, and we had in the Mishnah already that he zoicha in the when it comes to marriage, as long as she's a ketana or a nara, the father has full rights to select the chosin and to marry her off to that chosin. So the Gemara says now, among those rights, bia includes a mesir l'chupa. So for the Gemara, how could he go and set up a date for the chasana where he's going to have her marry this chosin? That day, let's assume it's going to be a Wednesday, like the Tekona of the first Mishnah in the Masechta, he's going to go and say to her, next Wednesday is the Chasana. And she's going to go and say, yeah, but Tati, Abba, don't you know that next Wednesday I have a closing, I have a meeting, I have a conference call. I can't possibly attend the wedding that day. I'm just too busy. So the question is, whose rights trump whose rights? The right of the father to go and marry her off. So Freyti Mora, Heichi Motzi Mosala, how can he go and submit her to Chuppah, to her husband, to her chosin, Hakamavatla Mimasi Adel? He's taking away from that day of work, and therefore she's not going to receive pay for that day because of the fact that she's going to miss work. So you see, therefore, that the Masi Adayim must belong to him, that he has the right to go and say, today, no income. You won't get a salary, you won't get a check, that's fine, because you're going to get married today. It's the Chayra Rai that even by a Nara, he has the right to receive the Masi Yodai. Alpi Svara. Freit Dimara, it's Alpi Svara. I can go and give you a couple of answers to your Raya. Porachar Bachoy, Eime Diyoivlo Schar Pekata. Maybe it's talking about when can he go and marry her off any day of the week or on Wednesday, is only if he taka pays her for that day. In other words, he goes to his daughter, Sprinza, you're getting married on Wednesday. And she says, Tati, that's fine, I'm happy to go and get married on Wednesday, but I'm going to miss a whole day's worth of work, and a day's worth of work is $50 per day. So the father says, it's fine, I'll give you $50, and then you'll be able to go and have and get married. That still doesn't prove that all of her income goes to her father. Or Inami the Masal Balaila. He'll say, we'll make the chasen at night. You only work 9 to 5. We'll make the chasen at 6 o'clock. And therefore you won't lose any of your income. Inami the Masal B'Shabbos B'Yom Tovim. He'll go and marry her off on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Recall we had an earlier discussion back in the beginning of the Masechta whether the Bias Mitzvah is allowed to be on Shabbos. And the Gemara concluded, yes, it is. And therefore our Gemara is going in accordance with that Maskana, that she could get married on Friday night. In fact, in Yerushalayim, and even in, it's not as prevalent today as it was years ago, but people still get married on Friday afternoons, and then they have the first, they get together at night, and the reason for that is that it just saves so much money. You have big mishpachas in Yerushalayim, and every time you make a chasana, I don't have to tell you, it costs a lot of money. So if you make the chasana Friday afternoon, then all the people that are going to attend are the close mishpacha. The close mishpacha has to supply for them anyway because of Shabbos. And you don't have to worry about the photographers, and you don't have to worry about many musicians and many other expenses like that. And therefore, you're allowed to go and have chasana on Shabbos. We have a little bit of a problem that the Gemara says you can go and get married on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, because we learned earlier that you're not allowed to get married on Yom Tov. Back in Maseches Chagiga, we learned a drosha that it says in the Pasuk that you have to have a Simchas Yom Tov and a Ma'arvin Simcha v'Simcha. The Gemara said, V'samachta b'chagecha v'loi b'ishtecha. And therefore you can't even marry on Chol Shel Moed, let alone on Yom Tov itself. So that's not my kasha. The Tosfos asks this kasha. You see the second Tosfos on the bottom. The Mosala b'Shabbos Yom Tov and Avagav Yom Moed Katan. So what do we do? So Tosis gives a couple of interesting terutzim. First here it says, the Tosfos Diaraisa, Ubetela Ba'isa Shom and Amalacha. When it says in our Gemara that he gives her Mosala B'Shabasav Yom Tovim, we don't mean on classic Yom Tov itself. We mean, let's say, an hour before Yom Tov, because we know there's a din of Tosfos Shabbos and Tosfos Yom Tov, that a person should refrain from doing work already before the Zman of Shabbos and before the Zman of Yom Tov. We learned that from Yom Kippurim, where there's a din of Tosfos Yom Kippur, Me'erev Ad Erev, that you have to be Moisif. Aha. So therefore, an hour before Yom Tov, she wouldn't be working anyway. She has to leave the office and prepare and go home and all the rest. Oh, during that hour, where there is already an Isra Malacha, that will be the time that you'll be able to go make the Chasana, because it's only considered to be Yom Tov for certain purposes. Legabi the din of Tosfos Malacha, Tosfos Yom Tov. But not legabi getting married. Inami says Tosfos Kishemasra Avlish L'chiyabal, that in fact, it wasn't that the chasana took place then, it means that he sent her along with the shluchi abal to prepare for the chasana. Oy nisuim b'loy su'uda, it's talking about that there was a chasana on Yom Tov without a su'uda, since without a su'uda, it's not such a big, big simcha, and therefore, it doesn't violate the problem of being ma'arev simcha b'simcha. Good, so, Tosfos has a number of answers to the question, but getting back to Gemara, kum techois, the raya that the Gemara wanted to bring mitzad hasvara, that the father can go and receive the masi adayim of his daughter, based on the fact that he has a right to marry her off, even though she's going to lose income for that day, nishkaraya, because maybe he'll just pay her for the income for that day, or maybe he'll marry her off at night, or marry her off on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov. So, vayta was stuck. The whole raya that the Gemara brought was from the pasuk v'chiyimkar ish es biterli ama, that just like the ama masi adayim, the rabba, by a girl masi yadayim li'avia, maybe that's only by a ktana and not by a naro. Says Yimara el ktana leitzricha kra. I really don't need a pasik for ktana. Hashes vuni mazben la masi yadayim li'boye. After all, put aside this pasik. We know the halacha is a person's allowed to go and sell his daughter for an amivriya. No, if you're allowed to go and sell your daughter, what does that mean? You're going to get paid for selling her to that odoy. Why are you getting paid? Because the right to produce income and to work belongs to the father, and therefore the father can sell that right to somebody else. Oh, so I see by a ktana, that's an automatic right that the masi yadayim go to the father. I don't need a special drasha, biter li oma mam, oma masi yadayim l'rabba. So since I don't need that drasha for ktana, im eina inyan legabe ktana, teneu inyan legabe nara, eliki yitzrach kralin nara. So even though the pasuk on the surface is taka talking about ktana, but the extra word li oma comes to be marba even a nara, the masi yadeha li aviha. And the mission continues on. Yes.
Shoot.
The question of Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf Dami applies to the ownership of a field. Who owns the field? I have a field and I allow and I sell the right to the income of that field to a friend of mine for 10 years. During that 10-year period, who's considered to be the owner? Is it the owner of the field that has the title to the field that belongs to him, and after all, in 10 years from now, he's going to get it back? Or does it belong to the person who has the income production through those 10 years? Is machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, kinyan peres kinyan aguf dami, or lav kinyan aguf dami? But that's the gabi hilchos mamonis, the gabi hilchos, you know, sechses bav metzia. Here we're talking about the right to receive masi yadayim from the daughter to the father. Here there's no shaykhus lagabi kikinyin aguf, not kikinyin aguf. It means...
No, because he owns, if he can sell it, if he can sell it to Amaribria, it's like kinyin aguf. So it's like, saying it's wrong.
What nafkimina would there be? What nafkimina would there be whether you continue consider it to be kinyin aguf, lav kinyin aguf? It's the right to go and sell the daughter, and that right is the income production. Continuing on, we had in the Mishnah that the father is entitled to be mefen in the dorim of his daughter. We know that. How do I know? That's a very clear pasuk. This is nishkar remez, nishkar drashes, at the beginning of Parshas Matos, where the Torah talks about a person ishkida nedel Hashem or yishova shvur lesser isal nafsha leyachel dvaroi. The whole parish is talking about Hilchos Netarim, and the very end of that parish it says, Eila chukim asher tzivah Hashem es Moshe ben ish li ishtoi, ben av levitoi, ben ureo beis avia. So from these words we learn that all of the Hilchos Netarim referring to the daughter, not only Ketana, but even a Nara, if she makes a neder, then it's ben av levitoi, the father has a right to be made for that neder. Sheit vayit in the posse, sheit vayit in the mishnah mekabel as gitta. If he married off his daughter, and now the marriage comes to an end, and she's still an arusa, she never became a nesua. Since she's an arusa, she's still in the rishus of her father. So if chas v'shalom this marriage ends, umekabel es gitta, he can go and accept the get on her behalf. Meanwhile, how do I know? This is as the boss of Yotzim Ha'isa, iskish yitzia l'havaya. And just like the havaya we already said, es biti nosata l'isha zeh, a father can go and marry off his daughter. Father can also take back his daughter if the marriage terminates through a get. What happens if she were to go and receive a Yerusha from her mother's side? Her mother passed away, or her grandfather, the maternal grandfather passed away, and she receives a Yerusha, and now the father, her father would like to get that Yerusha, but it doesn't belong to him. This went directly to his daughter. The question is, would he be able to be nehane from the payrois of those nechosim? When a husband gets married to the wife and she brings along nechse malug, he does have the right to the payrois bechayeho. However, in this case where she received the Yerusha from her mother's side, he does not get that. The father doesn't get the payrois bechayeho. That's what it said in the Mishnah, but as we'll see in a Braisa, in fact, it's not so simple. Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa, av eini oichel payrois bechayeho bitoi, like we learned in the Mishnah, but if Yosef Yehuda Omer Ha'av Oichel Peres B'Chayi Bito, in fact, it's a Machloikis. Praytim on Maikam Mifligi. What is the basis of the Machloikis? Tanakam Masava Bishloim Abal Tekim LeRabbanim Peri. The Imkay Memna VeLoi Parik Ela'av Ma'ikal Meimer. The Memna VeParik B'La'av Ochi Parik Le. What is this all about? We saw in the Mishnah yesterday, and we'll see in more detail on the Amud Beis, that a husband gets the peiros of the nechse malug is peiros tachas perkuna. What means tachas perkuna? There was always a concern by Yom Mahim. Unfortunately, in certain medinois, even today, there is a similar concern that, unfortunately, bad men, goyim, what have you, would go and take people into captivity and demand a very hefty ransom. And if you didn't pay that ransom, who knows what they were going to do to that individual, chas v'shalom. So, we want to incentivize fathers, and we want to incentivize husbands, that if their women were taken into captivity, that they will go and pay ransom to go and free them. So, in the Gemara, we're going to learn Mishum in the Amud Beis, that a husband says, why should I go and free my wife from captivity? She has a large trust account, and let her pay for her own ransom. Why do I have to dig into my own pocket? Where would she get that trust account from? From the payrois that accumulate over the years from her nechse malug. If we were to say that she keeps those payrois and she doesn't hand it over to her husband, then over a period of years she might accumulate, I don't know, $1 million or more. And the husband says, why do I have to go and scrape together money to ransom my wife? She has her own. Now there's a problem, however, say the Chachamim. What happens if all the money together in that trust account from all the payrois doesn't add up to the full amount of the ransom? The ransom is $1 million, and she's only been able to collect over the years from her payrois $800,000. So the husband says, it's not my problem. It's her problem. The Chum were concerned about that. The Chum therefore said, you know what? Number one, we're going to make a takana that the husband has to go and redeem his wife. And number two, to go and grease the wheels and to incentivize him, we allow that all the payers that accumulate throughout the marriage go to him. And since he's presumably not going to start adding up every single day, every single year, exactly how much did I get from my wife an income for the Peiris Magog. He just know he got those Peiris. So if Chas Hashem this were to transpire, then he would have no choice. He'd have to go and redeem her, whatever the price is. $1 million, $2 million, $500,000, whatever it is, he's going to have to redeem. So that's the Svara Lagabe, the husband. Question is, do we have a similar Svara Lagabe, a father? Says the Tanakama of this price, which is the same as the Tana of our Mishnah, you don't have to incentivize fathers, and you don't have to give him payroys. The love and affection that a father has for his daughter is so deep that if Chas Shalom she was taken into captivity, he would do whatever he can to go and redeem her, regardless, your payroys, nish payroys, you don't have to go and financially incent him to go and redeem his daughter. So getting back to Agumar. The reason why the Chum said you get the payris of the Nechsim Lug Bichayeho, Dim Kain Mimna Vileparik. Because if you're not going to go and give the payris to the husband, you allow her to accumulate it in her bank account, he's going to go and say, I don't have to go and be payrik and redeemer. She has plenty of money. Ela'av, Baikal Meimar. Are you going to say by your father the same svara? The mimna v'le parik, b'lav hachi parik la. He doesn't need any financial incentives to go and redeem his daughter from captivity. That's his natural instinct to go and redeem her. So you don't have to give him the payrois. She can keep her payrois. For basic mutna savar, avnami mimna v'le parik. No, a father thinks the same way as the husband. Savar kisa nikita ilava. Kisa means like a large wallet, a large purse she has. It doesn't mean literally that she has a large wallet or a purse. It means that she has, Rashi refers to it as a large segula. Segula means like a large bank account somewhere that you put it away. Tezu tibik nafsha. Let her take money from her own funds. What do I have to go and pay out from my pocketbook, from my pocket? Let her pay for it. So there too, even by a father, we have to go and financially incentivize him to go and take from his own pocket. And therefore, we're misakin the payrois, go to him. It's a machlekes. Now, getting to the husband. In our mission, it said, Nisis yaser olav abal shuhu oichel. The husband has even more rights than the father had. And one of the rights was, for instance, the right to the payrois, where the Tanakama said that the father does not eat payrois bechayeho, and the Mishnah says, however, the husband does take payrois bechayeho, and other rights that it said in the Mishnah. It says, Imar Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, Kosav lo, payrois ksus fikelem, sheyavoyu ima mibeis aviyah lebeis bala. Meis alo zoch habal bedvarim halal. Mishim nimnasan amru, zoch habal bedvarim halal. What this braisa and the next Gemara is focusing on is there a difference between Erisin and Nisuin? It's a double poshet that by Nisuin, if a wife passes away, whatever she brought into the marriage in terms of Nechsi Malug or Nechsi Tzayin Barzal, all of those Nechosim go to the husband. The husband Yarshins his wife. If the wife was a full-fledged wife through Nisuin, that's a double poshet. The question is, what happens if their marriage ended after Erisin? The Oris and the Arusa were engaged, and 6 months into the Erisin, unfortunately, she passed away. No, what happens now to whatever Nechosim she brought into the marriage? Does he Yarshin it? Yes or no? And as the Gemara tells us, it's a Braisa, where this is, in fact, a Machloikis. Kosov law, back to the Braisa, Kosov law, here the Kosov is referring to the father of the Kala, wrote for his Kala, the following dowry, he wrote into the ksuba, peirois, ksuz, vekelem, a whole bunch of things. Shevoyu ima bebeis avi lebeis bala, that she is going to bring in from her father's home into her husband's home. It never happened because unfortunately, Mesa, she died. Says the Tanakama, Luizoch, Abal bedvar malalu. The Baal never received it, he never will receive it, even though it was written in the ksuba that this is what the wife is bringing into the dowry. But bottom line is, they didn't have the suin, they only had Erisin. All of these things, the Peiris, Ksus, Vekelim, revert back to the father of the Kala. B'shem Rav Nosson Amru, no. Zoch HaBal B'dvarim HaLolo. the Baal does receive all of these things, even though it was min ha'erisin. So we have a machloikis between the Tanakama and Reb Nosson. What's the din? Mesim and Erisin, who gets the nechasim? Now the Gemara says, l'choyra, the exact same machloikis applies the other way around. That is, what happens if the husband passed away during this man Erisin? How much ksuba does she get? Does she get the entire ksuba? Meaning, not only mono or masayim, but also any toisvis ksuba? Or maybe she only gets the bare minimum, that's the mono masayim, but she doesn't get the toisvis ksuba. And that's the same machloikis. That now we learned in a Mishnah. Nis arim lo oynes karsha, bein mena nisuin, bein mena erisin. Oh, even the case of erisin. Nebuch, she became an almana, or she became a grusha, and she wants to receive now her ksuba. Goyves akoyl, zok to tanekama, she gets anything and everything in that ksuba. So if the ksuba says the husband is giving toisefes ksuba of an extra $1 million, she gets everything. That's what it says in the Ksuba. However, and nothing more. You don't get more. You don't get toisefes. Why not? Says the Gemara in the Amid Beis. The whole reason why the chosim was being so generous is because he's looking into the future when he has an opportunity to go and consummate the marriage with his wife and to have a full relations with his wife. But unfortunately, that never happened. So therefore, she's entitled to the mana masayim, but she's not entitled to the big toisefes. Aha! So l'choira, the two machloikesin seem to be so parallel. Says the Mandi Mandiyama loizocha, the Mandiyama in the first brisa, which says that if she died during the erisin period, the husband does not receive her yerusha. The reason is lechoyra because he holds Kirblos ben Azariah, like Kirblos ben Azariah said that the whole reason why he wrote stuff into the ksuba, this Tosefes ksuba, was almanas lekoinsa. So presumably the reason why the father of the bride gave a dowry and wrote all those things in the ksuba was almanas lekoinsa. And therefore if this marriage was never consummated, you take back all of the nan. And the only thing that, in case he dies, the only thing that she receives is the mana or masayim. And in the case of she dies, if he takes back all of the nan, then she has nothing to go and hand over if she passes away. So the choyer, that's the same machloikis. Uman the yomer zocha. The other man the yomer says that you are zoicha. I think that was Reb Nosson and the yomer aleph. That even mina erisin, the chosin is zoicha into the nan, is krabonin. He holds like the rabbanon that holds that once you write in the ksuba, you get everything. Even he gets even the toisis ksuba. In other words, they're exactly parallel, the two cases, whether he dies or she dies. The same man the yomer that holds that after he dies, she gets everything, including the Tosefes, would hold that if she dies, then he gets everything, the whole Nadin inside the Ksuba, and vice versa. It's exactly the same machloikis. So tomorrow, lie. You have no right. It could be the Kuli Alma Kirblozum Nazaria, that if the husband wrote a very generous Ksuba, besides the Mana or Messiah, he threw in a big Toises Ksuba. Everybody agrees with Kirblozum Nazaria that if the husband died during the period of Erisin, what's the halacha? She only gets manu masayim. She would not get the toisvis ksuva. Oman the yomer zocha, the person that said that she's zoicha, not that she's zoicha, that he is zoicha. The kuli alma kereb lo zman azayim. Man the yomer lo yizocha kereb lo zman azayim. The one that says that he, that if she dies, then he is not a zoicha in the nadin, holds like kereb lo zman azayim, that just like when he dies, she doesn't get the Toisis Ksuba. If she died during this man of the Erisin, then he doesn't get the Nadin written in the Ksuba. Uman the Omer Zacha, and the one that says, no, he does get the Nadin, he can also hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Because Ad Kan Lekom Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah El Medidei Ledida. When did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say that you only get the minimum, the man of Messiah, but you don't get the Toisis? That's when you're talking about what goes from him to her. What's the reason why? like Reb Blozer ben Azariah said on the top line of the Amud, Shloi Kosov Lo El Almanas Lekoinsa. His whole das of being so generous in putting in the ksuba, I'm going to give you $1 million, was on the condition, or at least the understanding, that eventually this Erisin would be upgraded to a Nisuin, and there would be intimate relations, and, you know, for that, it was worth it for him to go and give this to Sefer Ksuva. However, however, the other direction, that if Chas HaSholem, she passes away, would the husband get the Nadin set forth in the Ksuba? Says the Gemara, it could be the Reb Blozer ben Azariah would agree, Moidi, that yes, the Chosin would be Zolche in the Nadin. What's the reason why? Mishum the Ichtunihu, Va Ichtunihu. Says the Gemara, there's a difference of perspective between a Chosin and between the father of the Kalim. When it comes to the Chosin is not interested in just being married, being able to tell everybody, I'm a married man. What he's interested in being able to do is live with his wife. And therefore, if he wants to be generous and gracious and give large amounts of Tisefis Ksuva, we assume that the reason is, like Reb Blozer ben Azariah said, and if he was never koinesser because of the fact that unfortunately he passed away, okay, she gets the money Masayim, but she doesn't get the Tisefis. In the case of whoever, the father of the Kala, the reason why he wanted to give her a generous Nadin is to attract a chosin to agree to go and be ma'aris, to go and agree to go and give the kesef kedushin, to put the ring on her finger, so that he doesn't have anymore, he's no longer one of the thousands in the shidduch crisis, that Baruch Hashem, his daughter now is a kala, and therefore, to incentivize the chosin to propose and to take her as a kala, he says, chosin, besides the fact that she's a big yirah shemayim, and besides the fact that she is a very pretty young lady, and besides the fact that she has malish kasid batayra, I'm going to slip some money into the equation as well. Ooh, slip some money, that's already a major incentive. So the reason why he gave the nadin is to incentivize mishum ichtunihu, that she should become engaged. In this case, not only engagement, but actually orus varusa. So therefore, even if unfortunately the erisin ended early, because Nebuch she passed away, the father's desire of having her as a kala did materialize. Baruch Hashem, she was a kala. Therefore, the husband can go and keep the nechasim. So, Reb Blozer ben Azariah's halacha, it could be that both mandiyamim and that first brisa could hold like Reb Blozer ben Azariah, legabe, that if he dies, she does not get the toisis ksuba. But if she dies, it's a machloikis whether he would get the extra nadin in the ksuba or not. Right, it says in the Mishnah Chai b'mezoinis seho that the husband has to supply mezoinis to his wife. Not like the father. We look at the Mishnah in Daf Mem Tes. The father is not required to give mezoinis, but the husband is required to give mezoinis. Pray to Yimara, why? Tana Rabban, have a braisa. The Chum made two takanas. One halacha was that tiknu mezoineseha tachas masiyadeh. The husband receives the masiyadayim, and therefore he has to go and support the wife. The Lashon HaBraisa sounds very strongly that the Iker takana was that he receives her income. And as almost a secondary to that, oh, you're giving me your income, then I'm going to go and give you my mezoinis. I'm going to go and feed you. However, there's a Gemara later on that says that it's not so simple. And then, in fact, the Gemara there reverses it. If you go for a second to Nun Ches Amid Beis in the Gemara, Nun Ches Amid Beis, you'll see that the Gemara turns it upside down. Zokti Gemara, Hayar Nun Ches Amid Beis, right after the Mishnah, it says in the Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav Yechole Isha Loimel Abala, Eini Nezoinis VeEini Oisa. A wife can say to her husband, "I am not. Don't supply me with food. I'm going to pay for food on my own. VeEini Oisa, and I'm not going to give my Masi Adayim to you." How does Rav Huna hold that way? Because Kosavik Takinu Rabbanan mizoyni ikr. The ikr takana was to feed his wife. Umasiyadeh mishameiva. That if the husband is required to go and feed his wife 2 meals a day, 3 meals a day, and Baruch Hashem, she's getting a nice income because she's a computer programmer or whatever, then if she's going to keep that income, the husband's going to be very upset. He's going to say, here, I feed her and I feed her and I feed her, and she gets all this money and I don't get a penny. So Mishum Eva. V'chi Amra, eini nizoynis v'eini oyser, just be other. So therefore, says Rav Huna, if she says, since the Ikar Takana was to get the mizoynis, if she says, don't do me any favors. You don't have to give me the mizoynis. I don't want to hand over my siyadai, because my income stream is much more valuable than the mizoynis that you give me. So she has that right. The brisa that we just brought now, that they were mesakim mizoynis tachas masiyadai, is the chasimim l'choira, that the ikar takana was the masiyadayim, that the income goes to the husband. And since the income goes to the husband has to supply her with mizoynis. If that's the case, then how does she have the right to go and say, ain mizoynis vi ain oisa? After all, the principal takana was for his benefit, not for her benefit. In fact, you have to go and reverse it. That the Ikar Takana was that the husband should go and supply mizoynis to his wife, so that she should have food. If Baruch Hashem, if she is creative and talented, and she's able to go and make money on the side, wonderful. Now she has to hand that money over to her husband. Why? Mishum Eva. But the main Takana was for her benefit that she should have food to eat. So getting back to our braisa now here on Mem Zayin Amid Beis. So when it says in the braisa, Tikkun Mizoyseh, Tachas Masiyadeh, according to Rav Huna, we have to reverse the words and say Tikkun Masiyadeh, Mishum, or Tachas Mizoyseh. By the way, if you're wondering why I pulled you all to Daf Mem Ches, because that's the middle choices here on the bottom lines, in the wide lines down below, you see Tikkun Mizoyseh, Tachas Masiyadeh, Perek Afal Pi and Daf Nun Chesam Ed Beis. Amar Rav Huna Yichol Isha Toim Lebal In Zayin Veni Soisa Kasov Kitin Rabanu Mazayin Iker Uparach Mehachol Mishani Eima Tikna Masiseh Tachas Mazayinois. So therefore, in fact, you have to go and reverse the language of the Brisa. Continuing on the Brisa, Ukfurasa Tachas Ksubasa. Tachas Ksubasa means the Nadin that she brings into the marriage, because she brings in a Nadin. What happens if Chas V'Shalom, she passes away? Then since the husband is going to receive that Yerusha, that Nadin, the Nadin of Nechzi Melug, Nechzi Tzorin Barzel, or what have you, so then he has to go and pay for the funeral expenses to go and bury his wife. And now the Braisa finishes off, L'fichach Baal Oichel Peirois. Because of that, the husband gets to eat the Peirois. Freit Digmara, we didn't speak about Peirois until now. We spoke about Hermasi Adayim. We spoke about the Nadin, but we didn't speak about the Peiris. Peiris would mean the income from the Nechzim Lug, from the Chosim that she brought into the marriage. We didn't speak about Peiris. Pray tomorrow, Peiris Mandachar Shemayu. All of a sudden, we come up with a new term that wasn't even discussed. Says Imor, you're right. Chsur Mechzura, Bahachitani. We have to go and add a few words, and we start the Braisa over again. Tiknu Mezoni Seho Tachas Mas Yodel. Or like Rav Huna says, Tiknu Mas Yodeh Mishum, or Tachas Mizoyneseh. And now we add, Uperkuna Tachas Peirois. What does that mean? That her Peirois have to go to the husband, the Peirois of her Nechosim, any income stream, Uperkuna, and therefore the husband has to go and be Mefarik, has to go and redeem her, if Chas V'Shalom, she is ever taken into captivity for ransom. Like we said before, that since the husband receives the nadin in the ksuba, if and when she passes away, he has to go and bury her. Now the braisa says, because of that second takana, pekuna tachas peiros, the baal eats peiros. I mean, why does it repeat it again? We already said the chachamim were mesakein perkuna. Ransoming a wife, tachas peirois, because he gets the peirois. So I see he gets the peirois. So why does it have to say, l'vichabal oichel peirois? Maybe the husband would have the right to go and say, you know what? I have a good idea. Let the wife keep her peiros. I'm not going to eat the peiros. I'm going to allow her to get the income stream from her fields. And she can go and sell it. And she can go and get money. And let the money, let's put it aside, let's put it away in a brokerage account or in a bank account and let it earn interest and let it earn earnings and let her have that amount. And the imkain memnavle parik, because the husband says to himself, if I'm going to go and take those payers throughout the year and I'm going to have the benefit of eating those payers, you know what might happen? If chas v'shalom she's ever taken into captivity, there won't be a trust account from where to take the money. All of that money would have been used over the years for household expenses or investments or whatever it happens to be. And therefore, Mimnavle Parik, he would go and say, I can't go and ransom her. There's no money here. All the payers have already been eaten up. So maybe it would be a better idea not to give the payers to the husband, but rather let them accumulate. Kamash Malon, that's why Mishnah tells you, that's why the Braisa tells you. This is a better etza to give the payer stream to the husband, because zimnedle malu or parik la midi day. Because if we were going to go and set aside all those payers in a separate trust account, you know what might happen? Over the period of 10 years, every year she puts in $50,000, and Baruch Hashem over 10 years is now $500,000 in this account. Givaldik. But unfortunately, if she's ever taken into captivity, the captors are saying, we want $1 million. So there's not enough money to go and satisfy their desire for money. And imkein mimnavle parik. Now the husband will say, I'm sorry, I don't have enough money to go and be parik, because, like the Gemara says, kamash lundu adifa, we're better off allowing the husband to use the income stream and have those payers for those 10 years, instead of them accumulating in the trust account. Why is this better? Because maybe the $500,000 that will accumulate in the account will not be enough. And now that the husband has gotten the income stream over all of these years, because of this takanas chachamim, he's going to have to go and ransom her, even if there is not enough in that payroy's income stream throughout the year. Throughout the years, because that's what the chachamim masakin. So that's why the Braisa says lefichach. Therefore, we said bal oichel peiros, so that he will dig deeper into his pocket and pay out the full ransom if chas v'shalom this were ever to transpire. Frank Mara, separate question now. Ve'epachana, why does it say in the Braisa that when it comes to the case of mezoineseha tachas masia deha, that the quid pro quo for the mezoines is the masiyah daim, or the masiyah daim for the mezoinis. And then we say that perkuna tachas peiros. Maybe we should go and switch it around. Maybe we should go and say that tiknu peiros, or tiknu mezoinisea tachas peiroseha, and tiknu perkuna tachas masiyah daim. After all, both masiyah daim, that she produces by working, that's income stream. And the payers of her nechasim and nechsim alug, that's also income stream. Both of them are income streams. So why are we taking one income stream, tachas, the mezoinis, and the other income stream, tachas, the perkuna? Maybe we should switch it around. The chachamim were misakein motzi lematzi, things which are frequent, parallel to things which are frequent, and things which are infrequent against things which are infrequent. What does that mean? If you look at the last two lines of Rashi, there's no dark font, just the last two lines. Mezoinis amasi yadeha, mitzuyin. Mezoinis, she has to eat every day of the week. A person has to eat, otherwise they could not survive. So that's a dover matzui. Masi yadayim, that she works and produces income, that's a dover matzui. So, They did min b'minoi, motzui b'motzui. However, shvuya, the isha sheyesh l'nechsim, alug l'yishchichi, a shvuya that she's taken into captivity, that's hopefully a very infrequent event, hopefully it never occurs. And women that bring in a valuable nechsimalug that produced peiroys, that's also not so shriach. Maybe today there would be more shriach because people, Baruch Hashem, today, in general, are more affluent. But in the times of Chazal, most of the people were aniyim ve'evyoinim, so that they can go and produce income by going to work. And what did the women do at those times? Presumably did sewing and knitting and things that women do. So that produced income. However, most women didn't have big nadins to go and bring into the marriage. So therefore, says the Gemara, when the Chomer were mesakin a broad takana for the rank and file of Klal Yisrael, they rather were mesakin mezoin destachas mas yadayim. Both of those are frequent things that are likely to occur. Women have to eat, and it's likely that they'll make money mas yadayim. And they did einu matzui, can I get einu matzui? They did their pekuna tachas the peirois, because the likelihood of having to ransom a wife was rather remote. And the right to receive peiros, that was going to actually materialize, was also considered to be an infrequent thing. With this, we conclude this Gemara. Based on everything that we've learned until now, it would appear that the duty that a husband has to go and give mezoinus to his wife is all based on the rabbanon. Because after all, the Brice says, Tiknu mezoinusel tachas masiyadel. Or Tiknu masiyadel tachas mezoinusel. All of that is a takana that the wife should be able to live, and they will mesakin. Although a father does not have to go and give mezoinus for his daughter, a husband does have to give mezoinus for his wife. However, the Gemara tells us now, Omer Rava, haitana sava mezoinus midiraisa. The following Tana of the following Brisa, which we're going to learn, and as we'll see, it's not only one Tana, we have multiple Tanoim. They don't hold that Mezoinus is a Drabanon, they hold that Mezoinus is Menatoiro. This sign you like we learned in the Brisa. It says that if a person has one wife, then She'eira Ksusavainasa lo Yigra. Where is that Pasik? If you have the Torah or Hashalim, Emacheres Yikach loy. That a person has to make sure to give for his wife and each one of his wives, if he has multiple wives, he has to give them she'ira k'susa v'oynasa. Now the question is, what is the definition of those terms? Zok the Brice in the Sanya, she'ira eilu mezoinis. This means food. V'chein oymer, it says in the Pasuk, v'asher ochlu she'er ami. Where is this pasuk? It's a pasuk in Micha, and Micha, the Navi, is giving Musar to the Ktzinei Ha'am. Ktzinei Ha'am means the officers, the officials, who unfortunately the pasuk describes as being bad guys. What would they do? Basher Ochlu She'er Ami. They would go around and eat the food of the nation. Not only food, but the Meforshim on the pasuk in Micha teach the word She'er to mean the basar, the flesh. The meat. They would go and eat the meat of my nation, v'oiram me'aleim hefshitu, and they would go and strip the skin off of them. So the Pasuk is talking in very graphic terms that these Ktzinei Ha'am were so corrupt that they would literally eat the flesh of the nation, and they would strip the oir, the skins, v'es atzmoiseim pitzeichu, and then they would go and take the bones of the nation that had marrow, and they would break them open. And they would go and treat human beings as if they were just meat that you would go and cook nebuch in a big pot. So, what do I see from that pasuk? I see that the word she'er means food. So here too, she'er ksusainasa is food. That's ksusa. Ksusa is kimashmoi. That means ksus. Everybody knows ksus means clothing. So therefore, a husband has to go and give mezoinus. He has to supply clothing. And oinasa, zu oinu amur b'toira. Oinu amur b'toira means the amount that a person has to go and live with his wife in intimacy. How much is that? Our Gemara doesn't go into it, but we're going to have a later Mishnah that's going to describe that really depends on what the husband's availability is. Meaning, what type of work does he do? Is he in a type of work that he's away for months at a time, or weeks at a time, or days at a time? Rashi brings it in Chumash, the Gabi, the Ayorim, at Ubaneha, Reseah, like Ubanoim Shalom. Anyway, we're going to have this a later Mishnah as well, The reason why the Mori uses the term of the Oino Amur B'Torah, because the Mishnah is just quoting from a Mishnah later on that uses that same expression. If you want to see a Mishnah later on, it's Samach Aleph Amid Beis. If you look, turn to Samach Aleph Amid Beis for a short moment. There's a Mishnah over there. Samach Aleph Amid Beis, 61b, where it says, in the middle of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is towards the bottom of the Amid, Hamadar is Ishtim Itashu Shamita, Beishamay, Beisil, etc. Then it says, on the fourth line, Ha'oinu Hamur Batoira. What is the amount of Oinu Hamur Batoira? Hatayalim, Luchol Yoim, Pialim, Shtayim, Beshabbos, Hamorim, Achas, Beshabbos, etc. So our Mishnah, this Bryce is just quoting from the Oinu Hamur Batoira, from that Mishnah later on. So that's, how do we know this from? From the Oinos, that's Oinu. Like it says in the Pasuk, Imta'ana es benoisai. That's the discussion that they had between Yaakov and Lavan. Now the two ways of learning Imta'ana es benoisai. The simple way Toisis understands the Rashi and the Gemara, Imta'ana es benoisai means that, what's the Lashon Pasuk? Imta'ana es benoisai, ein ishimanu re'ei lekim ei beini uveinecha. That what Imta'ana es benoisai means that you have to supply oina to my daughters. Don't forget, even if you go and take other women, you have to supply the minimum amount of the oina to my daughters. That's the way Toisis learns it, the Pashup Shat. However, Toisis says that back in Mesechtes Yom Yuma, we learned that one of the five inuyim is Tashu Shemitah on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara says, how do I know that that's an inuy? Because it says, Imta'anes Benoisai. And therefore, the Lashon inuy there is being Moineya Tashmish, not giving Tashmish. So therefore, Laban is saying to Yaakov Avinu, make sure, Imtanis Benoisai, don't be Ma'ana, don't cause suffering to my daughters by refraining from Oina. So either way that you learn, the word Ta'ana es Benoisai is referring to, you have to supply Oina. So those are the three: food, clothing, and Oina. Reb Loza disagrees. He says, She'eira zu Oina, V'cheinu Oimer, Ish el kosher er besoroi lo sikrav legalis erva. So you see that the word she'er is related to arroyois. So she'er, that means oina. Ksusa k'mashmoi, that everybody agrees. Ksusa means clothing. Oinasa elu mezoinis. How do you know that oina means mezoinis? V'cheinu oina v'yancha v'yari v'echa v'echilcha samana shlo yedata, etc. So the ma'isa, they come out the same. Ksusa is exactly the same according to both of them. The only question is whether she'er means food and oina means Tashmish, or the other way around, where the she'er means Tashmish and Oina means food. So, according to both of these mandiyamim, obviously it's Menatoy. And we continue on to Blazim and Yaakov, She'er Ksusa, Lefum She'er Ten Ksusa. We're just going to finish the price another couple of lines. The She'er Ksusa, Lefum She'er Ten Ksusa. Reb Blazim and Yaakov learns that this whole pasuk is really focused on appropriate clothing that a person is supposed to supply to his wife. And therefore, what means she'era ksusa? We said she'era already means the flesh. So the Gemara is interpreting the flesh over here to mean the flesh of a lady, that depending on whether she happens to be young or whether she is old, you have to supply clothing that is appropriate to her age and to her body. What does that mean? Shleiten lo loy shel yadol zkena v'loy shel zkena lialda. Rashi points out that if you look at the second line of Rashi, Zekena koshula masui, as women get old, just like as when men get old, it's harder for them to schlep around heavy weights. And a woman would not want to have one of these gowns that is puffed up with lots of additional pieces of garment to it, because it's very heavy, and she's old. She needs it, so she should look all pretty and nice. So therefore, the She'era and Ksus is telling you, back to the Gemara, Lefum She'era ten Ksusa, Shlo Yitin Lo Lo Shal Yadol Zekena, Lo Shal Zekena Li Yalda. On the other hand, Ksusa V'Ainasa is again the same thing. Lefum Ainasa ten Ksusa. Give clothing which is appropriate to the season. Shlo Yitin Chadosh Mimoisachama. During the summer months, don't buy her brand new clothing, which has never been washed before, because those by definition are going to be heavier and they're going to be cause more warmth, and during the summer, that's the last thing you need, is to have warmth. And don't give worn out begadim during the winter months when you need heavy-duty, thicker garments. And therefore, according to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, all of the three terms, she'er, ksus, v'inasa, are all explaining what type of ksus should you buy. It's got to be weather-appropriate and age-appropriate. What does Reb Lezer ben Yaakov hold the gabi mizaynos? Doesn't say. But if you look at the top toises, Pishreshbam, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, sovernami de mizaynos de araisa. And he brings it from the Seif of the Braisa, which our Gemara does not quote. And the Seif says, a kolshkin, a kal v'choymer. Mavach, you have to go and supply clothing, which is dvorim she'ein behem kiyum nefesh. A person theoretically could live without clothing. It would not be comfortable, but your life doesn't depend on clothing. If you have to supply clothing, then avad, you have to supply food, which is kiyum nefesh. Without food, you cannot live. There is a choice as more. Anyway, the point is, all three mandi omrim in this brisa all hold as mazoinus is the araisa. And that's what Rabbi started off by saying. Even though until now we kept on saying, tiknu mazoinus, it's not a takana drabanan according to the tanoim of this brisa. All three. The first two say it expressly, that either the word she'er or oina means food, and even according to Blazer ben Yaakov, if you learn from a kal v'chomer from the Sefer of the Braisa, that you have to supply food, mina toira. So we'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai, and miyachem to be continued tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful, beautiful day. Zai Gesund. Thank you for joining.
Kol tov. What are the graphical options?